Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Christian Men's Talk. It's Saturday morning. Welcome. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., my brand new time for 2018, in addition to what we do on Mondays at 8 p.m., Thursdays at 8 p.m., but today is Saturday, March the 10th, 2018, and we'd like to welcome this morning to our broadcast. Amen. Well, we're going to open up tonight. We're going to talk about a little touch thing. I'm going to touch on a very little subject this morning and just give a word of encouragement to the brothers out there listening and continue to pray and continue to guide and continue to be led by the Holy Spirit and what God would have us to do. Amen. We're going to give a short music interlude and then we're going to be right back with our scripture and prayer and jump right into our conversation. Amen. We'll be right back.
Into the inner place, into the holy of holies. Let's receive them.
Praise the Lord, Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome this morning to our broadcast. It's Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Today is March the 10th. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about church membership, about the body of Christ, about unity in the body, and why is it important. You know, a lot of folk talk about they don't need to go to church, and they don't have those fellowships, but tonight I'm going to talk to the men. I'm going to talk to the brothers. Because it's important that we have other men. When we talk about men's ministry is an outgrowth of the body of Christ, of the local church. Men's ministry doesn't replace the body, doesn't replace the local church, because that body includes everyone there, men, women, and children, all those that come under that pastor and that leader and are able to build and be used what God wants to use them. So you can't have a men's ministry without a church, without a pastor, without leaders, without a organization, with a gathering of folk. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because some of the things that happen in the church, when we talk about men's ministry, these are just opportunities. It's a, what I want to say, It's an outgrowth of the church, but then there's a time for men to come together. So some of these things we are hindered by having women and children in the room, between embarrassment and pride, and having to deal with the issues that we deal with as being men. But I never would say that you don't need to be part of a local body, because the things that happen in the local body, we all need in our lives. What Pastor told me one time, what the church does, it smooths out the rough spots and it helps us to mature in the body of Christ. Amen. So I'm going to scripture real quick tonight, and we're going to open up with scripture. Then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to get right into the conversation. Tonight, I'm coming from Ephesians chapter number 4. And I'm going to verse number 15. I got to flip my Bible here. I have a paper Bible. I haven't went digital yet for this century, so I'm still back in the 20th century with a paper Bible here. All right. So we're at Ephesians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 15. And the Word of God says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father God, we say today, we say thank you for the body of Christ, God. We thank you, God, for fitting us together, oh God. Father, you have brought broken pieces together, oh God, and built your church on those broken pieces, God. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God, that through his blood, oh God, we are redeemed, God. Through his sacrifice, oh God, we are healed, oh God, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, Lord God. God, we just thank you, God, for you seeing us worthy and seeing it fit for us to send your Son, that you might build a church, oh God, that we might stand presentable to him when he returns, as a bride without spot or wrinkle, oh God. So, Father, continue to work in me, God. Continue to work in my brothers, God. Continue to work in those, oh God, within the sound of my voice today, oh God. Transform them, sanctify them, make them holy, God. Set them apart for your use, oh God, and glory in this earth today and in this culture. Continue, God, to use us and make us salt and light, Lord God, and let us fulfill the purpose and plan that you created us for. And this is my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, today I just want to encourage you brothers out there. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter the challenges that you're facing right now, because there's a man somewhere, God, that today, God, you know, I know the understanding. I know what it means to be a husband, a father, and a son, and the challenges that come along with that, the pressures that we carry, the burdens, and just the testing to be able to stand and be that pillar and be that support and be that anchor and be the watchman on the wall for our families and for our communities and for those in our circle of influence. But I do encourage every man today, oh God, to forget that. I encourage every man that, God, the Holy Spirit would rise up in him, that he would pray, that he would seek forgiveness, that he would seek redemption, and he would repent for the things that he's done, the bad choices he's made, even in the midst, oh God. So, God, I just want to encourage your brother today. There's a brother out there listening right now that I just wanted to take the opportunity to stop and pray and encourage him, God. Don't give up. Don't give up. And don't give up. Press into the things of God. And surround yourself with some strong men. Surround yourself with some strong saints. So surround yourself in your circle of influence. And I encourage you today, call someone, reach out to someone. Do not suffer alone. You're not a lone ranger. And this is why God created the body of Christ. This is why he has built his body on people. Not perfect people, God. Not perfect people, but people that can be used, shaped, and molded to encourage one another. And again, I just say thank you. I just wanted to encourage some brothers listening today. You know, this was on my spirit this morning about the challenges that are coming about. We're into the almost the third month of the new year. We're past the sanctification process. We're past all the things we do and sometime in our tradition and rituals for the beginning of the year. Now we're getting into the meat of what are we going to do for 2018? What is going to be our goal, our vision, our purpose? What kind of fruit are we going to produce this year in our lives spiritually? And so, and in our lives, and even in the temple realm, how are we going to grow today? We need to be deeply and more planted in the foundation of our faith, rooted and grounded in his word, spending more time in study? Are we called to be evangelists, to share the gospel, to serve? What are we going to do for 2018? This is the time. Spring is coming. The thaw is breaking around the country. So what are we going to do when that season of growth comes, when spring comes? We're coming up on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the celebration of his resurrection. We're coming on that Easter Sunday, that Palm Sunday, remembering what was done, remembering that last week of his life. He went from praise to persecution in just 7 days. So what are we going to do in this coming up year? Tonight I just want to talk about church, the importance of church membership, being part of a body. You know, a lot of churches, a lot of denominations have a lot of things to say about membership and what it is and what it isn't. But the Word of God calls us to be members of a local body, members of a church, as Christians. Because for us to call ourselves a Christian and not be connected to a local body. And, you know, I remember Paul addressed this when people were considering, you know, I was taught by Paul or taught by Apollos. You know, sometimes we get caught up in who the pastor of the church is, his reputation, his fame, his glory. And you just want to tell people who your pastor, your bishop is. Somehow is that you're in a better place than they are. That's a sin right there, because we're one body, one faith, and one baptism. So if you think that you're better, your church or your pastor is better than someone else, I challenge you. I call you out to consider what you're saying when you really say that. Because God created us all. God planted his church, and God has a purpose and plan for individuals. Just like within your body, individuals are called for a certain purpose. God has called congregations for a certain purpose, because there's churches out there that are doing things that your church couldn't do, didn't know how to do, and have no passion to do that need to be done in the culture. There's enough harvest out there. There's enough laborers for those out there to do the work to be called out. And just in your church may not be willing, able, or don't have the passion to get some things done that would go undone if it wasn't for the church right down next door. So I just wanted to put that out there, because a lot of folk, we get caught up in that thing. And again, the scripture talks about it. But the people were saying that I was by Apollo, I was taught by Apollo, I was taught by Paul, and who's better, and this is a better church, and we get into that. But that's, again, that's our flesh rising up, because we are just human beings on this earth. But we have to be able to press and be able to set a better example than that, especially if you teach our young people. Because I know we got some denominations out there. Well, this is what they teach, their doctrine, but hey, we'll let God deal with them. Amen. Amen. Right now, I'm taking a quick commercial break and remind you of the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church Helping Hands Food Pantry is open this Saturday. This Saturday, March the 10th, they're open from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They have fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and they have meat. The pantry is located at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. You can call the church at 410-437-0137. If you need food, you know someone is in need of food, or even if you don't live in the Pasadena, Maryland area, give the church a call. They're part of a pantry network, and I believe they can find a pantry in your neighborhood that can help you out or help someone out that you know. Amen. So we talk about memberships in the church. Member of the church, you should be a Christian. As a Christian, being part of a member, that's part of your faith. This is what Scripture teaches. In Acts, those who believed the gospel were added to the church daily. You know, Paul preached and added to the church daily. They fellowshiped, they broke bread together. And Paul, when Paul wrote letters, he wrote letters to the churches. His letters in Rome, to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Thessalonians. These were all local churches he planted. And he planted on his three missionary journeys. And again, he was writing these letters for the correction and edification of the things that was going on there in the church. Because he had responsibility as their overseer, as the one who took the gospel to the Gentiles, because these were all Gentile churches, and he cared for them. And we have the New Testament because of the shortcomings, the failings, the driftings that they've done. Some of the same things we're doing today in the body of Christ. Paul wrote these letters to bring them back on course, to remind them who they were, remind them of their calling. So there's no church that's perfect. And for us to be Christians, this is why we need to be in a church, to hold each other accountable. And when we talk about being a member of a church, it's being faithful. It's being our profession of Christ is that we start to hang around like-minded, like-believing people under our pastor who's teaching us to grow It's teaching us to be sanctified, what it means to be growth, to mature in Christ, to be able to fulfill the call that God has had on our lives. And we can't do that alone. Nowhere in the New Testament can you find someone not being part of a local body, having people around them, men of God, leaders, elders, people who would serve, and they're serving their communities and serving others. Even if we look into secular history, the Christians would have reputations about taking in the lost, taking in the broken and the sick, out of their love of God, to be able to show the world the compassion that Christ had on the sick and that we have as Christians that we have. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Now, some of the things that we look at when we talk about church membership, some of the things that now in the 21st century that we're battling with, you know, I know some pastors, men of God who are leading churches, and, you know, I've been honored to be in the company of men, to be encouraged them and to hear some of the things they struggle with when it comes about church memberships and what people think it means to be a member of a church. Again, a lot of denominations have a lot of different things, you know, and a lot of churches put a lot of things on it. But the membership is going to be, it's just like anything else. It's like your salvation. What do you believe God for? It's going to be, God's going to judge your heart and your heart condition. Again, being a church member is not going to be something we do that we're checking the boxes that we did this and this and that makes him a member of his church. But remember, that local congregation, your church, the Church of Jesus Christ is bigger than your local congregation. Because it's Jesus' church. It's not your pastor's church, your ministry, your district manager, however your church government is. The body of Christ is bigger than that and has a bigger responsibility than those man-written rules and regulations. You know, because we're called to be individuals. We are each individually filled with the Holy Ghost, to be strengthened for purpose, to be obedient to him, because we're going to be obedient to his word and to his spirit. And through our relationship with Christ is how God is going to judge us. He's not going to judge us by our district missionary. He's not going to judge us by our district's apostle or bishop or whatever. That's not how we're going to stand before Christ. But even if we come under those different church governments, how faithful are we to that thing? You know, because again, if we look at the New Testament, the Church of Rome, there's only one Church of Rome. There was only one church in Corinth. There was only one church in Ephesus. There was a group of believers who came together to take care of each other, provide for each other, watch over each other, and then also spread the gospel of Jesus Christ as a team, as a union, as a body of Christ, to be examples in the community, to be salt and light. All these things we're called to do when we come together, that we would compel the lost, the unbeliever, to come to faith and understand what it means to be part of the body. And then even in those churches, Peter had to write to some who were under persecution to encourage them to continue to press into their faith regardless of the persecution. And that's the other thing the church can do. When things come against us, we should cleave closer together and not let the things and the attacks of the enemy drive us apart. And now in this generation, some of the schisms that come into the church separate us because of we fall back in our emotions and our feelings, and that can break up and destroy the church also from the inside, because we forget who we're supposed to be. We forget what it means to be sacrificial love and selfishness, but we let pride get in, and that can destroy the fellowship also. So, as a member of a church, are you a regular attender? You know, we as a church, the members, we come together to help oversee the lives of members. If someone doesn't regularly attend the church, how can they say they're part of something? You know, how can you say you're part of something and you're never there? You're never a part of it. No one sees you. No one knows you. You know, are you in true fellowship? We say a lot about fellowship here in the body of Christ, but true fellowship means there's someone there, someone knowing. And then on the other side of it, when we see folk that are not attending and they're missing Sundays, they're missing Bible studies, do we take the initiative to reach out to them and find out what's going on with them? Because folk have a lot of pressures and things that go on. You know, my pastor tells me, you know, a lot. He says it a lot. You never know what people are going through and what people have to go through just to get to the building. And then when people are missing, do we seek to find out what's going on? Do we seek to be the salt and light? Do we seek to be encouragement? Do we seek to edify the body? When we see folk that, you know, that are there, other part of the body, and they're not there. And those in them, we also, on the other hand of that, do we greet the stranger? Scripture talks about how we should treat strangers because we never know who we may be entertaining. the strangers who come through our church thresholds? Do we reach out to them? Are we part? Are we making ourselves friendly to understand, to be able to serve them, or just to get to know them, or just be friendly to them, and then encourage them in their faith? Because again, this is what we do. This is men of God. This is what we have to look in the mirror and consider what we're doing and who we are. This is not about. This is not an indictment on the whole body. This is an indictment on us individually. And as men of God, we need to be in a place where we can greet other men, we can build relationships with other men, and encourage other men. Because as being husbands and fathers is a challenge. It's a challenge for some. It's a burden for others, and it's not easy. That's why in this culture, and we see in this time, in this culture, in this society, fatherhood and husbands and marriages are struggling and under attack. Because, you know, men are not being encouraged. Men are giving up. There's no one to tell a brother, don't do it. Stop a minute. Don't make that bad decision. And if for some of us, we keep it secret because we already set up in our mind that we're going to give up. We're just waiting for the right opportunity. And we don't reach out to anyone because we're tired of fighting. We have no one in our lives who's going to be a positive influence. We have people in our lives who agree with the crazy, or agree with our suffering, or what we used to call back in the old days, a pity party. You know, Christians having pity parties over because it ain't going their way because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe a true gospel, and their faith is not a saving faith and a committed faith. But that's for another discussion. So to be a Christian and the importance of being a member of a church, there's privileges and there's responsibilities. There's like anything else. There's privileges of being a husband. There's responsibilities of being a husband. There's privileges of being a father. There's responsibilities of being a father. There's privileges of being a son, and there's responsibilities of being a son. And then in the same course of that, there's privileges and responsibilities of being a member of a church, being part of a member. And some of that being a member is, are you dependable? Can you be relied on? And there's some things I'm gonna touch on this morning, and just want to encourage you. That would be meditate on your soul, meditate on your mind, and help you to seek scripture. That the Holy Spirit would move and guide you, that you can be different, that you can be different tomorrow than you are today, that you can see it different. And I pray that you would go to these scriptures, look the Word of God up, study for yourselves, and let the Holy Spirit within you be stirred up to be a better church member. The members of the local church should have the privileges of being admitted to the Lord's Supper. That's a biggie, because I've been to a lot of ministries, a lot of communion services. Some pastors, you know, they only allow the adults and those members and confessed believers to take communion. They make provisions for children. They don't allow children to take communion because, again, if we look at what Scripture says about the Lord's Supper and taking communion and what it actually means, I challenge you to read it, to study what the Lord's Supper is about and who is eligible to take it. I know there's a lot of teachings out there. I'm not going to go into them right now, but I encourage you to open up the Word of God for yourself and study the Lord's Supper. And that is a privilege, and that is one of the things Jesus calls us for us to do as saints. But again, I encourage you to go to Scripture, look at the first Lord's Supper, and then look what Paul wrote in the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper. Amen? The next responsibility for the church is to pray for the church. Are you praying for the members? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for the guy, the people, the family next to you in the pew in front of you, beside you, and behind you? Are you praying for those that you see, the visitors? Are you praying for those singles? Are you praying for the children, the youth? Are you praying for the members of your church in a whole? And how many of them can you pray for by name? Because we go to churches and see folk, and we don't know nothing about them. We don't know their names. I understand God can hear the prayer, the broad general prayer, but sometimes, God, our prayers need to be laser pointed at specific folk who are in our circle of influence and who we have in our circle and whose circle we're part of. Praying for the church. Being in transparent relationships with other church members in which they care for, encourage, rebuke, teach, and learn from each other. That's a biggie. That goes back to I'm praying because I know what's going on. You know, you should be connected. Some people should know what's going on with you, what your struggles and challenges are, and what your successes are. You know, we tend to lift up our testimony services and tell all the good things, but when we're struggling, we have nothing to say to nobody about our struggles and challenges. But that should be part of our relationships in the church. And necessarily, we're not talking about in the midst of a service, but it should be a circle of people that you can call who will pray for you when you're going through something. and not just one who may agree with you. There might be somebody else there that you need to be, that needs to be rebuked or teach or encourage you or even care for you. Sometimes our pride as men keep us from letting another brother take care for us, to help us out, to help us through a circumstance and a situation where it could be physically and emotionally. Because of our pride, for that masculinity, we don't want to show weakness, we don't want to show transparency, we don't want to show vulnerability. But that's not what we're called to do as men. Submit to church leadership in the teaching. I'm going to give you a reference there from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, submitting to church and teaching. Again, the only way you submit and have discernment is you have to study the word for yourself. Because I'm not going to say all teachers and all pastors and all churches are teaching correct doctrine, teaching the right word, and discerning the right word of God. But you won't know that unless you're studying for yourself, unless you're praying, unless you're in a personal relationship where you're studying and meditating and praying over the word of God for yourself and over your family. But what if you're in a place where you're in agreement with the teaching, then you are called to submit unto the teaching and the leadership. And that church leadership thing is something, again, that we battle with in our flesh. I think it's a lot of that is carnality, a lot of that thing that because we live in America, everyone has a say and has rights and opinions count. Again, I refer you back to the New Testament. I refer you back to what Paul taught and what Peter wrote about church leadership, and set yourself accordingly there. Because if you don't believe in the man that you're following, it's like anything else. If you don't believe in your leadership, you're going to be a hindrance and not a help to the leadership. If you have an art with the pastor, if you have an art with leadership, either you figure it out, you would seek redemption, forgiveness, or understanding, or, you know, you have to find some place where, because again, we have to have discernment for ourselves. Let me just leave it there. Because a lot of people disagree over a lot of things, and some of them are not even major issues. They're little things. It's little things that it's like the Bible says about little foxes trying to pick at the church, and the enemy uses some of those things because, you know, just because you don't agree with the pastor, don't make him wrong. And just because you think you know more doesn't mean, you know, that's not necessarily the call for that church. You put over unity in the body. If you're in the body of Christ, are you building up that church? Or are you one of the little foxes who are trying to destroy from within? I refer you to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 4, number 3, are you promoting unity in the body? And here's the big one, financial supporting the ministry. You know, Pastor, I know a lot of elders and seniors and pastors, and, you know, church needs, it's an old teaching. The church needs heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. And for that reason, you should be dedicated and committed to financial supporting the church. Either that, or we could go back to New Testament, Book of Acts, and go from house to house. So are you prepared to support and entertain weekly in your home the members of your church for teaching and for fellowship? I'll just let that sink in a minute. Because unless in the 21st century, 20th century, we have church buildings, which is fine. But, you know, if you're not going to support it, then, you know, if you say you're part of a church, then just have a fellowship in your home weekly. And are you prepared to do that? Go from house to house, as Scripture teaches in the Book of Acts. Because you don't see them raising money to build a building, to build a campus, to do some of the things that we're doing in the body of Christ. But if you're part of the ministry and believe in the vision of what the pastor wants to do, then are you supporting it financially? I support you to Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 6, financially supporting the church's ministry. And the last one I want to touch on today is the use of spiritual gifts as given them to build up the body however they can. Knowing your spiritual gifts, knowing what the spiritual gifts are, and being opened by the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be able to support and use your spiritual gifts, the gifts and talents God has given you, to help grow the body, to help support the body, to help do the work of the body, the things that the ministry is called to do. There's a purpose and plan for you to be there. You're just not there by mistake. You're not there just because your wife went there. You're not there just because your family, the pastor's your uncle, cousin, brother, second cousin. You knew him back in the day. Y'all used to run the streets together. So now you're part of his church. He was your homie. God has put you in the body of Christ for a reason and a purpose. And if you're sitting on that, if you only go to church for two hours on Sunday and make Bible study every other week, are you really sowing into the body? Are you really using your gifts and talents there? And I don't mean, and you know, it. Well, let me just say this. I encourage you Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7, and search your heart. Ask God to give you guidance and direction and what you should be doing in the body to help edify the body. Because, again, our salvation, our call into salvation, our call into God for the redemption of our souls is to edify the body and glorify Him in all that we do. In every part of our life, as Christians, we're Christians 24/7. So we're called to be a Christian as a Christian husband, a Christian father, a Christian son, a Christian man, and live our lives that we may be able to edify the body and glorify Him. Amen. Amen. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Monday at 8 p.m. And I just want to encourage you again today for the brothers that are listening who took time out to join us, who called in at 646-668-2636 to continue to pray for you, continue to pray for me, and I encourage you to join us. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. On Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, and you can reach out there for us if you have a men's event coming up in the coming for this next quarter, for this next 6 months. Please post it with us. Let us know if you have a regularly scheduled meeting. Let us know so we can post it, so we have opportunity, the brothers can come out and be in fellowship with the body of Christ. So tonight I just want to close out in prayer. Just thank everyone who joined me this morning. Continue to stress, continue to move, continue to be used as God called you to be used. Continue to be the man of God and the husband and the father that God has called you to be. Press into the things of God. And again, for this time coming up, for this year, prepare yourself to evangelize the lost. Pray for, today I ask every brother that's listening on this line, pray for 5 unbelievers that they will come to Christ this year. Prepare yourself to be able to witness and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone that your soul might be saved. God bless you, and have a wonderful weekend.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the King. Hallelujah.